Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Don't hear it can't be done. Don't hear nobody like you has done this before. I like to say I eat no for breakfast.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
Basically a pronunciation guide on a mug. Kamala? Nahmala. You always can know how it rhymes with nah. Kamala Namala. Get your t-shirts and mugs today. StuDoesMerch.com. StuDoesMerch.com. The code is Stu10. You'll get 10% off your entire order. You can also check us out at YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. We've got this show, we've got the comedy skits, we've got the live news reaction. We just did a live reaction yesterday on a breaking poll that you can go back and watch the analysis. And we always do a little Q&A section as well if you want to get some questions in on the election or whatever else is on your mind. We'll do that there. We're trying to get to 100,000 subscribers, followers, whatever it is on YouTube. And we're close, so we would love your help over there if you get a second to click follow. Also, subscribe and click the bell for notifications so you know when we are going live. Glenn Beck is here to talk about Kamala Harris and her radical climate agenda. We've got new information on the first assassination attempt of Donald Trump. I'll give you the latest there. But we're going to start by doing somehow even more Kamala flip-flops. This is what, our fourth show? Kamala flip-flops, more Kamala flip-flops, even more Kamala flip-flops, and now somehow even more Kamala flip-flops. And it's interesting because I was going through, we have a whole file built of these, and we can't do them all in one monologue. There's too many of them, so we've been breaking up in chunks of three or four at a time. And today I was looking at something from Alex Thompson, the reporter from Axios. He's a national political correspondent for Axios. And I thought, you know, I've seen a couple of these reports we've cited that are from Alex Thompson. He seems to actually be doing his job as a journalist. And I don't think he's a conservative. I don't think me saying good things about him is going to be helpful to him in his life. But what I will say is conservative, liberal, nonpartisan, whatever you are, just do your freaking job. Ask these questions and just try to be a journalist. Like, that's what we should expect out of journalists. And when they do their job, whether we agree with them on 100 million other things, we should say positive things about them. And so I was going through our stack today, trying to figure out which ones to feature that we've prepped already. And I was like, let's pick the Alex Thompson ones because, you know, maybe he's got one or two of them in there. Little did I know, he had more than one or two in there. In fact, Alex Thompson has been seemingly the only reporter consistently asking any questions at all about Kamala Harris and what her positions are. So let's go through some of these. We'll start with plastic freaking straws. Now, I would vote for the leader of ISIS for president if they promised to get rid of paper straws. That's how much I freaking hate cardboard paper straws. They're awful. They're the bane of my existence. Kamala Harris has had a very strong opinion on this over the years. And here's what she said back. I think this one's from 2019.
Plastic straws are a big thing right now.
Yeah.
Do you ban plastic straws?
I think we should. Yes. I mean, look, I'm going to be honest. It's really difficult to drink out of a paper straw when you had, if you're just, like, if you don't gulp it down immediately, it starts to bend.
Yes.
And then, you know, the little thing catches it and then, you know.
Yeah,
so
I do know.
So we got to kind of perfect that one a little bit more.
So you'd ban it,
full
but
capital
rely
mode
on innovation.
I mean, we got it. Yeah, innovation is a process, right? You don't just do it. Innovation is a process, but you know, let's encourage innovation. And you know, I think we could do a little bit better than some of those flimsy plastic straws, but we do need to ban the plastic.
You know, we all commented on how look at Joe Biden in 2020, 2019, and now look at him, and you've seen that massive change. The change is there with Harris, too. She realized she could say all she wants. She thinks the cackle is playful and they actually really love it. You have not seen cackle one out of this candidate since she became the nominee. She has totally eliminated that. These old clips, she's cackling like crazy. She realized, I guess, that people just don't like it. But she's totally right, by the way, and I will give her credit on the paper straw theory. It is terrible. They don't work at all. It's just kind of idiotic to ban the thing that does work when, you know, the thing that doesn't work is the alternative. That's just part of my problem with what she's saying there. But that position has once again changed. She doesn't support banning plastic straws, a campaign official told Axios. Notably, she didn't tell Axios. She has not said this publicly, but we're supposed to believe that whatever campaign official this is, we don't even know the name of the person. She cast the tie-breaking vote on the most consequential legislation to combat climate change and create clean energy jobs in history. And as president, she's going to be focused on expanding on that progress. She joked even then about how crappy paper straws are and the need to come up with a better eco-friendly alternative. Well, she's changed her position on it. She now doesn't want to ban them. And again, you can say all you want that I want a restaurant to carry paper straws instead of plastic straws. I like them better, or I don't even like them, but they're better for the environment, whatever. The issue is about what is government policy going to be toward that situation. In a lot of cities, you'll see that they're banned. I go to places all the time. You travel and you're like, oh, God, not another freaking paper straw. I just make sure to ask for one like every 4 minutes just to annoy the restaurant. Now, I don't really do that, I guess, but I will say I am required to ask often because they fail. So I'm sorry if I've annoyed you as a waiter or waitress doing that, but it is important that they know how annoying these are to their customers. They've got to be aware of it. Okay. Now, there's another branch off of the Kamala flip-flops that we've included in this general vibe, because there's one thing where she will say very infrequently that she actually opposes something that she said before. She'll occasionally admit to these things in follow-up interviews when they, on the very rare occasions that they occur. The second version of this is she has what we just saw, a campaign ad leaks or tells a campaign reporter, hey, she's changed her mind on this. We're not going to really explain it, but just know that that's the truth. And then her media advocates will go on and say, she's already said that she's changed her mind on that. Come on, you conservatives. The third version of this is she just will not say what she now supports. So while not technically a flip-flop where she supports position A, now she supports position B and has disregarded position A, she just will not now admit to supporting position A. She'll just say, I have no opinion on this now. I have no policy on this. I can't tell you anything about it. That is what we find when we're in the death penalty. Once again, Alex Thompson, the one asking these questions from Axios. Harris won't say whether she still wants to end the death penalty. 2016 to 2020, here we go, in a shift. The Democratic Party changed its official platform this summer to remove opposition to the death penalty, which is a small majority of Americans support. The party's platform in 2016 and 2020 had called for ending capital punishment. We will abolish the death penalty, which has proven to be a cruel and unusual form of punishment, the 2016 platform said. But that language didn't appear in the Democrats' 2024 party platform, which was drafted and voted on in mid-July before President Biden dropped out of the race. And she had talked about this before, opposing it, which is a very generic boilerplate Democratic position for a very long time. Asked whether Harris supports legislation or would sign an executive order to end the death penalty, her campaign did not respond. Harris has a long record of opposing the death penalty. As a presidential candidate in September 2019, she rolled out a criminal justice reform plan that included ending it. Again, a plan, not an offhanded comment, a plan that was designed in writing where she opposed it. Kamala believes the death penalty is immoral, discriminatory, ineffective, and a gross misuse of taxpayer dollars, her campaign website read. Why wouldn't she just say, yeah, I still believe that? What's changed? What's changed? Well, nothing's changed, of course. If you oppose it, you oppose it. If you've had a change of heart, that's news. You bring that to the people and you say, you know what? I did oppose the death penalty, but man, I've just, you know, been seeing all this stuff happen. Crime has gone through the roof and we do need it now. We need to improve it or whatever. That's okay to have a change of heart, but you need to first of all, you need to explain that it occurred. You need to explain how it occurred. You need to explain why it occurred. You need to explain why your old position was wrong. That's how you do it. You don't just all of a sudden come out and either not address it at all or have a campaign official say, with no explanation, they've changed. Well, everyone knows the real explanation, right? Number one, most of these things she hasn't changed on at all. But secondly, it's she's trying to win an election. This is what we told you, multiple times, what Bernie Sanders said publicly, what Ed Markey said publicly. Hey, we know she's a hardcore progressive. We know she's a progressive hero. We know she's an environmental hero. She's not saying those things right now because her goal right now is to win an election. That means they are lying to you. They're admitting that they are lying to you over and over and over and over again. How about prostitution? No, I'm not suggesting that as a pastime for this evening. I'm talking about her particular policy on that. This report comes from, guess who? Alex Thompson. Harris won't say if she still backs decriminalizing prostitution. I wonder why she won't cop to that one. In February 2019, The Root asked Harris whether she thought sex work ought to be decriminalized. She responded, I think so. I do. When you're talking about consenting adults, I think that, yes, we should really consider that we can't criminalize consensual behavior as long as no one is being harmed, she said. Harris also told The Root that when she was the district attorney for San Francisco, I was advocating then that we need to stop arresting these prostitutes and instead go after the Johns and the pimps because we were criminalizing the women because, you know, women can't commit crimes. Or something. I don't understand that. Like, if you're committing a crime, just because you're a woman, that doesn't get you out of that. But again, believe all women. Remember that. In 2008, more than a decade before she ran for president, Harris opposed a San Francisco ballot initiative to decriminalize prostitution. She says, I think it's completely ridiculous. Just in case there's any ambiguity about my position, she told the New York Times in 2008, it would put a welcome mat out for pimps and prostitutes to come on into San Francisco. Now, that's true. That is true. And it's interesting because remember, at that time, that's what benefited her. 2019, what would benefit her? Well, decriminalizing prostitution is a nice little liberal talking point. They all talk about decriminalizing sex work. At that time, she's trying to win the presidential nomination for the Democrats. She's trying to run to the left of everybody around her. At that time, it benefits her to say, of course she wants it to be decriminalized. So, okay, what does she believe now? She's held every side of this issue, every position on every side of this issue. Well, the vice president's campaign did not respond to Axios when asked about her current position on sex work and whether it was closer to her 2008 or 2019 stance. The campaign declined to make her available for a brief interview. She has done a historically small number of interviews for a presidential candidate. Once again, the person writing that, Alex Thompson from Axios. Next up, Dreamers. Remember them? The Dreamers. They're dreaming and being an American. And those evil Republicans are opposing them. Now, this is boilerplate Democratic position, right? You are for the Dreamers. It's actually a relatively popular position to take among voters. Voters say, well, especially Dreamers kind of defined loosely as kids who came over with their parents illegally. It wasn't really their decision. They've grown up in America. They've been here for a long time. You know, how can you get mad at them? Roughly speaking, a very popular position generally, even though there are lots of questions around whether that's a good idea and what it incentivizes. But putting that aside for a second, Harris is now mum on her past pledge for Dreamers. This one's written by Alex Thompson and somebody else that the print is too small. But I also would say it's a good idea. Congratulations to whoever else wrote it with Alex. Asked this week whether she'd take those same executive actions, her campaign declined to answer. Spokesperson Ian Sam said, and we actually got the name of the spokesperson this time, which is an improvement. The vice president has fought for Dreamers throughout her career and is proud of the actions taken under her President Biden to expand protections for them, including the executive action President Biden took this year, which she supported. So why wouldn't she just engage and say, hey, yes, my pledge still stands 100%. Why not? And this has gone on with the border over and over and over again. This one, Kamala Harris Dreamer Plan, Axios headline, Kamala Harris releases executive action plan to protect Dreamers. This one's from Alex McCormand, a different Alex completely, but this is from 2019. 2020 Democratic nominee Kamala Harris released a comprehensive plan Wednesday to protect as many as 6 million immigrants, including a path to citizenship for 2 million Dreamers, undocumented immigrants who were brought into the U.S. by their parents as children. Harris's proposal, a series of four executive actions she's implemented as president, signals that she wouldn't be afraid to use the power of the presidency to circumvent Congress on immigration. Again, why not just admit that? That was her pledge in 2019. Now she says, no comment on my previous pledge. Again, not just an offhanded comment, but a detailed multi-point plan about four executive actions she would take on the first day in office to protect Dreamers. Huh. Interesting that this is going on. Now, her allies, or progressives, are doing something pretty interesting. Progressives hope Harris's border shift is temporary. This one written by Alex Thompson. Apparently the only journalist doing any journalism these days. After more than 3.5 years in the Biden administration, Harris has largely shifted from framing herself as a longtime immigrant advocate to a tough border hawk. How could anybody believe this nonsense? She has pledged to sign a White House-backed bipartisan bill and failed during the current Congress. It would significantly restrict asylum, continue building a border wall, and dedicate historic levels of funding to detain undocumented immigrants. Several organizations made clear they would oppose Harris if she tried to pass the border bill next year as president, and I have got good news for those organizations. There's no freaking chance she's going to do that. And this is the thing about calling them flip-flops. Every one of these shows I've mentioned this, but it's an important aside. These aren't really flip-flops. Technically, what they are is her hiding her actual position. She's not going to become tough on the border as president. She hasn't converted. She hasn't flip-flopped from being easy on the border and great to immigrants and welcoming to everybody into some border hawk. That's not what's going on here. What she is doing, quite clearly, is hiding what she actually believes from voters. That's what she's doing. She is coming out here and on all of these positions, if you've got two of them, believe the liberal one. Now, I don't know what Alex's motivation here. I've never talked to the guy. Seems like he's doing good reporting. It seems also like he may be just trying to hold her feet to the fire from the left side, who seeing all of these changes and saying, and someone who's saying, hey, wait a minute, you can't just abandon all these positions, because then when you get into office and you don't do them, she's just going to say, oh, well, I said during the campaign I was no longer in favor of that. That might be the motivation here. I actually don't know. I don't know what the motivation is. But I will say, if that's the motivation, I'd feel okay with it if I was on the left. And that's why probably a lot of these journalists are not actually doing the journalism they would normally theoretically do to hold someone to a progressive position. They don't care because they know she doesn't mean any of it. She's not going to change any of these positions. All of these things will be abandoned. All these moderate positions she's taking right now will be abandoned from the second she gets into the White House. And this is bad for the country, as you know, if you happen to be a conservative. But beyond that, it's bad for the country because this is a person who is evading our electoral system. She is actually going around our electoral system. You want to talk about election manipulation, election disinformation? This is it. She's just not participating. It's like she's just running around all the journalists, running around all the voters, and just assuming if she says nothing, she'll win. Now, I don't know. She might freaking be right, which is one of the scariest things I've ever uttered on the show. But what I will say is, she is not answering any of these questions at all. She's not telling us what her positions are. And I ask every journalist here that might be listening and every journalist in America outside of Alex Thompson, what are you creating here? What are you incentivizing here? Are you cognizant at all about what is going to go on in the future if you allow this to happen? If you don't do what Alex Thompson is doing and asking these questions and getting her on record, why would they ever tell you anything in the future? Why would any candidate ever tell you one of their positions? Why would any candidate get on record and tell you what their position is when they flip-flop? Why wouldn't they just leak it to you every single time they want to do it? Why on earth would they do any of this? It's all part of some social compact. It's not required by law. It's all part of a social compact that I thought we all thought was beneficial to the country, that journalists was asked these questions and we would require their responses. And if they didn't answer, other journalists would step up in a chorus and demand it. Say, what the hell is going on? Why aren't you answering these basic questions about what your positions are? Why aren't you telling us why you changed them? Why aren't you telling us you changed them at all? Why are we hearing only from campaign aides? Say all you want about Donald Trump. He's likely to blurt out 15 new positions tomorrow. He's always telling us positions on stuff. Where is Kamala Harris? Why aren't there 100 reporters pestering Kamala Harris on a daily basis to answer the same questions and submit to the same interviews that Alex Thompson is requesting? Where are these people? Ask yourself that if you're a journalist, and ask yourself what your job looks like in 4 years when no one returns any of your emails. That's what you're creating. And if you don't do something about it, the future of the country and the future of our electoral process in and of itself, if you let her get away with this, everyone will try it. Back in a second. Anything can happen, right? We have no idea what's around the corner. I mean, as I just mentioned, our presidential candidates aren't even telling us anymore what they believe. So are they going to be honest with you when there's a huge threat around the corner? Or are they going to be honest with you when the supply chains are breaking down and you can't get a hold of the medications that you need or the food that you need? There is something that you can do to ensure that you and your loved ones have that medication on hand when it is needed, and it's called the Jays case. We're used to having the stuff that we need here in America. I get that. A lot of times we don't think about what is around the corner because we figure we can get to the pharmacy, we can go to the corner store, we can get what we need. Well, the Jays case can make sure you actually can do that, because as we've seen with supply chains and medication shortages that we've had over the past few years, it's not always there for you. The pharmacy's not always it might have a sign on the door that says we don't have it right now. The Jays case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. Just got to fill out a form online. You'll have it in case you need it. You don't have to think about it again for a long time. Jace.com, the code is Stu. You'll get a discount on your order if you use that code Stu at Jace.com, Jase.com.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
It's Glenn Beck special night. Yeah, we're all excited. 9 p.m. Eastern right here on Blaze TV. How Kamala's radical climate agenda will bankrupt Americans. Be sure to stay tuned. Glenn, how's it going? Great to see you. In studio. You actually showed up to the state where you work.
Well, that's what you want to call it. Yeah, work.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't always seem like work with you, but I am actually seeing your prep packet for tonight. And
yeah, so this is this is a fascinating show tonight. You're going to love it because it's full of facts and figures. First of all, is Kamala is she done with the Green New Deal? Is she really?
It's a great question.
If she is,
ask her.
How come there's a $55 million ad campaign commitment from the League of Conservation Voters Victory Fund? These are the people, along with LCV, which has gotten millions of dollars from the 1630 Fund. You know how they how they just pipe money through.
Yeah.
All of these organizations were the ones that pushed the Green New Deal. So why are they coming and giving her $55 million of an ad campaign if she's going to stop the Green New Deal, if she's going to stop fracking? One of the main things they want is fracking.
To be stopped.
To be stopped. Mm-hmm. I mean,
all of a sudden she's in favor of keeping it. Right.
And they're still saying, yeah, we're going to no, we're stepping up to the plate. That's not even possible. It's not reasonable to think.
I mean, you wouldn't do that, right? Like if some issue close to your heart, you work really hard to get a candidate. They come out to oppose your policy. You wouldn't be like, well, here's $55 million if you were running one of these organizations.
Of course not. Nobody gives money just to give money at that amount. You expect them to do something in return. I'm putting you in and helping you win, but I expect that my policies are going to be adopted by you. And she's always been with these NGOs. So are they doing it $55 million out of just the kindness of their heart?
Yeah.
No.
Super suspicious. You know, we've mentioned this on radio and on this program as well. A couple of quotes, one from Bernie Sanders, one from Ed Markey, basically saying, look, she's great on all these things. She's super progressive. She's a great environmentalist. She's going to do all these things, but she has to win first. We understand she has to win first. That really is the plan here, right? Lie until you're in.
What is it? Ambiguous policy? They just named it. We talk about it tonight in tonight's show. I can't remember what it's called, but they actually have named it. It's like, it's not this, but it's like ambiguous policy design.
Really?
They've actually named it, given it a name. That's their plan. But you look at some of the other things we're going to be going over tonight. In 2022, the price of electricity grew 10.7%, highest year-over-year increase since the year 2000. Okay, but that's nothing. You're not paying 10% more.
I'm not. You did this exercise with us today. Right. I found out, looking back at my records, I paid 32% more in August than I paid the previous August, and I used less energy. So the actual rate increase was 50% year over year.
That's closer to what it is for everybody else since Biden took over, is 20%. We're now paying, on utilities combined, we're now, the average is $5,000 more a year. $5,000 for your utilities a year. That's the average. How are people affording that? Well, let me give you an example. They're not. In California, they found 78% of Americans are stressed out about their utility bills. 32% have to borrow or go on to payment plans months after month to pay that bill. In California, the California electricity is now owed over $2 billion in unpaid bills. Who's going to pay that? Because they can't afford it. So who's going to end up paying for it? The people, the state, will step in and pay for it. And that's why you're now starting to see, in some states, you're starting to see an additional 17% on your electricity bill. That's to offset the cost of people who can't afford their electricity bill. This is redistribution of wealth. That's all this is. This is socialism. And it makes no sense. It's not like we have to do this. It's not even smart. And it's filled with lies. Remember, none of us could have nuclear power because that was too dangerous. Well, now that we found out that we have to have nuclear power, but for AI, Bill Gates and his cronies are trying to start up Three Mile Island again. They're going to build, Gates and Microsoft will build small nuclear plants for them and their server farms. That's okay, but God forbid the American people have access to nuclear power. The cleanest, the cheapest, the most plentiful power ever found in the history of man. They can use it. Google will have it. Microsoft will have it. But you won't have it.
I mean, that's remarkable. Because these plans are going to happen. You know, they passed the Inflation Reduction Act with this idea that it was supposed to reduce inflation. Obviously, it did the opposite, first of all. But secondly, also, it was just a climate bill. It was a climate bill. We talked about that at the time. It was quite clear, although they denied it all the way until they got it passed and then started bragging about it in our faces.
And Joe Biden said, I wish we wouldn't have called it that because that's not what it is. He called it the Inflation Reduction Act. Wish we wouldn't have called it because that's not what it is. It's a climate bill. Those are his words.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to happen. It really doesn't have to happen. if Donald Trump can get in, you can get control of the Senate and the House, this stuff stops immediately. It stops. But if he's not elected, if we don't have the House and the Senate, all this stuff, just what they've already passed, goes through.
So talk me out of incredible pessimism here for a moment, because the way I look at our system generally, right, where we're supposed to have a situation where you can make a mistake on an election, right? Like, I don't think it's absolutely crazy that the American people picked Joe Biden. I mean, again, I think it is. But like I'm saying, like from a, if you look at it, a universal perspective, right? COVID's going on. It's a really negative time. Lots of people out of work. Things are going terrible. You know, Donald Trump is not for everyone. You know, he's kind of like one of those guys. You got to kind of have the right, you know, he might not be your taste. Then you have a situation where he's promising back to normalcy in the middle of COVID. That sounded good to a lot of people. You can kind of understand how this guy got elected, I guess. But like, here we are. They told you what they were going to do. They said all these things they were going to do. They were getting it back to normalcy. None of this stuff has occurred. You bring up the Inflation Reduction Act. They do this. They tell you it's inflation reduction because they know that's what people care about. In reality, it's a green New Deal Trojan horse. Isn't there supposed to be a punishment for that?
Yes. And it's supposed to come in November.
Yeah.
Right.
So why aren't we seeing
it?
Why is this a close election?
I think it's close, Stu, for a couple of reasons. Apparently, $5,000 a month or $5,000 a year in extra utilities is just not enough. It's just not enough to cause people pain. It's not enough to snap them out of this cult that they find themselves in right now. I mean, the people have been hypnotized. When you can't have a logical conversation with people who are struggling to pay for groceries, they're struggling month to month, and you can't say to them, look, this is all caused by these policies. Yeah, but Trump. Yeah, but Trump what? You know, that is the problem. They have... You know, we talked about this the other day. We're in a situation where these people have hired all of the best, world's best behavioral scientists. Nudge, Cass Sunstein. Mm-hmm. How do you nudge people in? Remember, it's nub, shove, shoot. And we're in the shoving part right now because people are starting to say, wait a minute. But they have manipulated people for 15 years now. They brought those people in and said, how do we get the country to buy into these things? You found out today, at least we talked about it today, found out probably, I think it was last week, about what the president actually said on January 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He didn't say, I don't want any troops there. He said the exact opposite. This is coming on January 6th. There's going to be a lot of people there. I'm worried about the safety. So I don't care if you use troops, active duty servicemen or the National Guard, whatever it is you need. I think there should be 10,000 troops there. Well, the Pentagon didn't do it. Now, this is coming from the testimony of General Milley. General Milley is not a friend of Donald Trump's. Why would he testify that? And why did Congress hide it?
Mm.
This is, again, they have pushed this narrative over and over again about what he said about the Nazis, what he said about January 6th. All of these things, Russia, 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 what he said to Ukraine, all of these have been proven now lies. But it doesn't matter. Because the job has already been done. They're in a cult.
And once you're there, it's hard to remove yourself.
Yeah, and they have made Donald Trump. I mean, did you see the quote from Hillary Clinton? We have to deprogram these people.
Yeah.
When we win, we have to deprogram them because they've been brainwashed. Who has been brainwashed? I'm willing to challenge my leadership. You're not. My side encourages you to think on your own. You don't. I mean, which one of us is in a cult?
Last one for you. The Trump campaign, I mean, we're talking about it being a close election. One of the reasons for this is, for whatever reason, the American people have adopted this idea that Kamala Harris, not really the vice president of the United States or responsible for any of these policies, she's the change candidate. And we were going back and forth a little bit on this off the air about how to change that narrative, because if Donald Trump somehow is, I mean, we heard Tim Walz the other day legitimately say on stage, we can't take four more years of this. It's like, your running mate is the vice president of the United States. Now, obviously, he's referring to the Trump years, but like, that messaging is caught on with voters. How do you fix that?
Donald Trump is the one to fix that one, and the campaign is. I mean, I think the slogan that he needs to adopt is fight, fight, fight for change.
Say it directly.
Make yourself the change candidate and remind, fight, fight, fight. I'm the guy who the machine is trying to stop. They're trying to kill me. Why? Because they can't afford change. How are you looking, America, at them and saying they're change? They are the establishment, the global establishment. Otherwise, they wouldn't be trying to kill me, because I stand in their way because they want to get to you and put the screws to you. I'm change. Fight, fight, fight for change.
There you go. Glenn Beck, his new special coming up tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, How Kamala's Radical Climate Agenda Will Bankrupt Americans. Make sure to stay tuned for that. And as always, watch on Blaze TV. It's blazetv.com/stew. The promo code right now, stew40, will save you $40. Glenn, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can't let your retirement dollars become a weapon against everything you hold dear. So let Constitution Wealth be your financial fortress, helping you defend your values with every dollar. If you think about all the things that you do, especially with your money, to try to avoid woke companies, companies you don't agree with, it, you know, they're promoting ESG and DEI and CRT. What are you doing with your investment dollars? This is probably a big chunk of what you have. And if it's just sitting in some fund controlled by a woke company, giving all that money to other woke companies, that's not really helping you. You can avoid the things that you want to avoid in your investments as well as at the store or however with your vote. ConstitutionWealth.com can help you do this. It's not always easy, I will admit. If you're not going with Constitution Wealth, it's going to be hard to navigate all of this. It's hard to know where these votes are going, what these companies are doing. Constitution Wealth can do it all for you. You get in touch with them. Your investments are some of the most powerful weapons you have to fight the culture war. That's what a parallel economy is all about. So go to Constitution Wealth and partner with someone who supports your constitutional values. Take action now. Go to constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Sign up for a free consultation today. It's constitutionwealth.com/blaze.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons. Oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.
Every day, see a million polls and a million election predictions. So we try to come up with something to make all of this understandable for you, and one itty bitty sort of one number solution to understand what is going on with the election, at least according to the mainstream experts and pollsters. This is available, by the way, every day at glennbeck.com/pulsecast. It's called the Pulsecast, kind of putting the finger on the pulse of all of these different measures. And we have a new one for today. Donald Trump, a 45.03% chance of winning the election. Kamala Harris, 54.97%. That's a big improvement for Donald Trump over the past couple of days. He seems like this, whatever bump this was from the debates, is coming back to earth for Kamala. And again, you know, 55-45, when you're talking about percentage chance to win, is essentially a toss-up election. So it's very, very close. And the polling today is very, very mixed as well, as we've been looking at some of the different ones that came out today. The Gallup poll, if you want some hope, The Gallup poll, I think, gives you some talking about, you know, what does this election environment look like? 2024 election environment favorable to GOP, says Gallup. 48% say they lean toward the Republican Party, 45% toward the Democratic Party. Democrats have won presidential elections in years where they had a larger than normal advantage in party affiliation, including 92, 96, 2008, 2012, and 2020. In years when the advantage was narrower, like 2004 and 2016, Republicans have won. The fact that Republicans are actually winning in this measure is not normal and a very good sign for Donald Trump. Also, on the issues, by 46% to 41%, Americans say the Republican Party is better able to deal with those issues than the Democratic Party. The top issues, and again, this is a very favorable environment for Donald Trump. Economy, 24%. Immigration, 22%. The government, 17%. And inflation, 15% are the top four issues. This measure has been largely in line as well with who won the election. The only time it was out of sync with the outcome was in 1948. So that's another one that's kind of predicting potentially the outcome. On the other hand, kind of a really bad poll from Reuters Ipsos today. Kamala Harris widening her lead over Trump to 47 to 40. That's about as big of probably the best poll I've seen since Kamala Harris got into the race for Kamala Harris. Now, when you take out the rounding, it's about a 6-point lead. It's just slightly over 6% in lead. In this poll, it shows that Kamala Harris is narrowing the advantage when it comes to the economy. Only 43 to 41 is Trump's lead on the economy there. Quinnipiac, however, very good pollster for Democrats, came out with a poll as well, and it has Trump ahead, 48 to 47. Green Party candidate Jill Stein, Libertarian candidate Chase Oliver, both getting 1% in that poll. So the polling kind of all over the place in the last 24 hours. That's why we do the PulseCast. It's available again, glenbeck.com/PulseCast every day, kind of explains what it is. Again, it's not our opinion as to how this is going to turn out. It is a summary of what all the experts are saying, so you don't have to kind of look through a million sources and try to sort it all out. Again, glenbeck.com/PulseCast. I'll also be posting it here coming up probably the next couple days each day on Twitter, on X, and maybe on the other platforms as well. So check it out, glenbeck.com/PulseCast. Is your teen unsure what to do after high school? This is a big problem. I mean, you know, if this is your kid looking a little aimless and not sure what to do, there's a great 6-week life and career skills course from Praxis that might just be exactly what you need. For the past decade, Praxis has developed nearly 1,000 homeschoolers and recent high school graduates and helped them launch their careers without college through their mentorship program. Now they're bringing their expertise to teens with the new course, Discover. Discover is a 6-week self-paced course designed to equip teens with essential life and career skills, like, you know, building a professional network or making money by creating actual value, developing a vision for the future. You need to have a plan if you're going to execute it. Plus, it includes a coaching call, a free resume review, and a copy of the book, Don't Do Stuff You Hate, which pretty good advice. And now, for a limited time, they're offering listeners of this particular program a 50% off discount on the course. Use the code STU50 at checkout. You're going to get over $300 off here. So make sure you take advantage of this. DiscoverPraxis.com/Blaze. DiscoverPraxis.com/Blaze. Be sure to use that code. It's DiscoverPraxis.com/Blaze. New report details stunning Secret Service leadership failures around the first assassination attempt of Donald Trump. They said, well, maybe we should have put up some visual barriers around the rally to block the view of any potential assassin. We didn't have a plan on how to secure the building the shooter took aim from, and there was general chaos of communication around the shooter's movement. Yeah, those all seem like kind of big things. They also seem like things that if it was your first day doing security for an event, like if you just got pulled out of whatever job you have into that job, probably like the top three things you do. So really hard to understand how that's possible. Now, the second assassination attempt on Trump, Ryan Routh, charged with attempted assassination of Trump as Judge Cannon is assigned case. Couple things on this. One, a lot of conservatives have complained, why did it take so long? My understanding of talking to just like legal experts, like a lot of times they'll do this. They'll charge the low hanging fruit first so they can detain the person and then they'll charge them the full crime. That seems to be what happened here. Also, Judge Cannon is assigned, who, of course, was the judge for Trump's documents case that, you know, that got thrown out. Some on the left are a little upset about that. Again, that's just sort of random chance. But I mean, I'm sure the left doesn't actually believe that. But we should be excited because we are now 9 full days without an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Good job, everybody. Act Blue doing a wonderful job keeping their donors away from trying to kill the president. However, I will say maybe it should be 0 days since an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. I don't know. The Trump's campaign says U.S. intelligence warned of Iranian threats to his life. Moves were already made by Iran that didn't work out, but they will try again, says U.S. presidential candidate. That's Donald Trump's words following the 2 assassination attempts. So I don't know. Should it be 9? Should it be 0? I guess unless we're seeing actually gunshots piercing the ear of Donald Trump, maybe that's the only thing. I don't know. What do we count these days as assassination attempts? So hard to figure out. Used to be easy. Used to be 0 all the time, at least for like 50 years. Anyway, blazetv.com/Stu. Code is Stu40. We'll see you tomorrow.